And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday evening. We have a prayer program, Watch and Pray. But before that, we have Pastor Fred, who has been, I don't know, for quite a while now, leading in Bible teaching. And after he finishes, then we begin the Watch and Pray. And he's here tonight with us. So let me get over and check. And there is Pastor Fred. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. Lord bless you and all that are with us.
Amen. 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 So are you ready for a message tonight?
Well, I told you it'd be just a little snack. I wouldn't.
They ate everything up on Sunday. They ate. They feasted on the word on Sunday, and we just have little leftovers tonight. Huh? Okay. Well, let me open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can the truth, Lord, the truth is in your word. So we thank you for that. I ask a nice anointing on Pastor Fred to preach and teach your truth. And whatever we do in this ministry is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, this evening, I'd like to take us back to one of the less known figures in the Nativity and the Christmas story, and that is Joseph. And I'd like us to imagine or perhaps put together what things were like in his day and what he faced. For without Matthew, we wouldn't know too much about Joseph. Luke mentions him when they go to Bethlehem. They have to go to be taxed to the place where they were originated from, or where his tribe originated from. And so I'd like us to just look at that and see if we can also learn a little bit about Mary, his wife-to-be, and see if we can understand some of the things that they went through. And to do that, I'm asking us to look at Jude 17 down to 25, where he reminds us that there are mockers in the world. It says in the last time, mockers shall come, but I am sure that Joseph himself would have met some mockers as we look in the story itself. Let's just read from Jude 17. Down to 25, but let's pray first. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the amazing way in which you have revealed to us, and we see it all much better than most people have seen it before our time. For those people back in AD 30, AD 1, 2, 3, in those years, would have had the Torah, and they would have had God's word, but not to the extent that we have. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for the privileged place that you have placed us in. Lord, we know that, therefore, it gives to us a certain responsibility, even more than they had in those days. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. So we're looking at this as if Joseph was reading it in order to catch the fact that this man was a holy man. He was a Jew. And we'll look at some of the things that he would have experienced. But this here in Jude 17 is just a reminder to us of the holiness required in a world that is perhaps unclean and mocking those things that we believe in. So I'm reading verse 17. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And that was written by Jude, who lived in the times when Joseph lived. Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now, you and I know that there were approximately 300 plus prophecies in the Old Testament talking about the coming of the Lord and the Messiah and the times of the end. So the Old Testament did contain much of many prophecies, but we can put them together much better than they would have in those days. And yet they would have read them because they read the books of Moses. And there were teachers who would come. So one of the, just to remind us of some of the prophecies that were made of the, that were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. One, an easy one to read is in Hosea 13:14, which I'll read. The sorrows of the travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. And so if you come back to go across to 1 Corinthians 15:54 and 55, you have, that was the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ overcoming death and taking the sting of death out. And so in 1 Corinthians 55, well, let's go earlier than that. In the moment, go to 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a distinct prophecy from Hosea, and there are others there in Hosea, but clarified in the New Testament. And that's just one of 300, over 300 of them. But let's go to this young man, Joseph. Joseph was to be the husband of Mary. And I'm asking you the question, do you know the name of Mary's father? Is it in the scriptures? Probably you'd find it in Mary's father. It could be in Luke 3:23. That's about the best I could make it in. Her father was Heli. Now, he was a Jew. And what was Joseph's father's name, the husband of Mary? Does anybody know? John, do you know?
Well, I would say it would be in Matthew's genealogy.
You got it. You got it. I'll read it. Matthew 1:16. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So, John, you get the full marks on this one. And so all the generations from, and this is amazing, and I mentioned this once before. So all the generations, verse 17 of Matthew 1. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And now some say that there are only 13 in the last one, and the 14th generation is the church, the body of Christ. I haven't had the time to go through that, but I don't know if that's true. Now, we're going to learn about Joseph. verse 18 of Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take him unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto him his wife, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, they were brought up in Nazareth, and Nazareth was not really a proud town or a town. It was kind of an unclean place in that it had a Roman garrison in that town. It was a small village, 2,000 people maybe. And it was remarkably unremarkable. And no one particularly boasted of being a Nazarene, even as you remember when Jesus called Nathanael, and he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So it didn't have a good, that's in John 1:40. It didn't have a good reputation to a certain extent. Nazareth was Jewish by birthright, Roman by claim, and Greek by influence. Nazareth was a town or a village that was amongst those that 150 years ago the Jews were transmigrated there from the enemy to this area, and to a certain extent, places like Nazareth, Cana, Chorazin, Magdala, Capernaum, around the Lake of Galilee, were basically Judaism had been reborn in that area just for 150 years. It was the region's full name means district of the pagans, but it had towns where the Jews had been repopulated, and Nazareth was one of them. And so they would have at least one synagogue where Joseph and Jacob, Joseph's father, would have taken him as a boy for prayers three times a day. They'd have scripture reading, preaching, and benediction. The synagogue also served as a center of village life. Its leaders and communities and handled financial affairs and settled differences between people. It provided links with Jerusalem. Local priests and Levites traveled to perform temple services, and Pharisee missionaries would come, and landowners would have a common cause with the Sadducees, and that's where the business was conducted, in those small towns, in their synagogues in those areas, and the gates of the villages. And then you'd have these children would be, Joseph would have been nursed by his parents until two or three by the mother. And the lad would play in the square, dancing and singing and playing and spinning toys and pushing little clay animals set on wheels. When the boy was about 6 or 7, the father would take over the education of the son, and he would recount Hebrew traditions and take him to the synagogue to learn the law's precepts. And on the Sabbath, he'd learn not to walk more than 2,000 cubits or a half a mile. And on this day, there would be a day of rest. Prayer would be a day of prayer, and one may not do business, cook, write, build. And there were 39 activities were forbidden. And the boy's not strictly, he didn't have to follow these precepts, but the parents would make them do that. And at the age of 13, when he would get to puberty in the synagogue, he would have to go to school and learn to read and write and use the Torah. And then his father would have to teach him a trade. And when his father would teach him a trade, he would then get to the age of around the 13 when he would become do the bar mitzvah, and he would be have to learn certain things. He'd learn the Talmud, which was really only started about second century in full, but they were trying to codify it in the early days, in those days too, of when Joseph was around. But the Talmud really was codified about 2,000 years later. And the Bar Mitzvah is intended to mark the beginning of Jewish boys' adulthood. And so the Bible then in the Torah assumes that men and women will marry. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And in the Talmudic era, which is kind of, I'm not saying that the Talmud was around when Joseph was a boy in the time of Jesus, but those traditions were held to a certain extent. If you read back on some of the things, like they would, a man, if a woman wanted to divorce her husband, she couldn't do it without the permission of the husband, and they would have to get certain rules followed by the Jewish leaders. In the a man and a woman formally signified their intention to marry a full year before the wedding in a ceremony known as an Erus, an E-R-U-S-I-N. During the 12 months following the Erus, and the woman was expected to assemble her trousseau and prepare for marriage. And this I imagine marriage did. While the man readied himself financially, if either party wished to terminate this erusin, this time of the year before, which was a legally binding engagement, listen to this, a full ceremony of divorce had to be carried out. They'd have to have a get, what the Jews call a get. Today, both the erusin and the marriage take place at the wedding. But in those days, there was that period when they were not to come together, but they were to prepare for the wedding. On the Sabbath preceding the wedding, the groom is honored by being called up to the Torah for a certain ceremony. And I hope this is interesting, at least to understand a little about Joseph and the pressures that were on his life. Members of the congregation during that time would throw candy at the male, symbolizing, expressing their wishes that he and his fiance have a sweet future. Among the Orthodox Jews, the bride is usually not present at this time. Jewish custom, not law, dictates that the bride and the groom not see each other a week before the wedding. And then the wedding is regarded in Jewish law as sacred, a sort of Yom Kippur. The bride and groom are encouraged to fast and even to recite certain penitential prayers that are also said on the Day of Atonement. Wedding ceremony itself is brief and simple. Couples stand in front of the officiating rabbi, who recites the first two blessings, which are those that were recited at the ancient ceremony of the Arusin, of the first time they were coming together a year ago. The groom then places a ring on the forefinger of the bride's right hand and recites 9 words in Hebrew. You are hereby sanctified unto me with this ring according to the law of Moses and Israel. The rabbi then reads aloud the Aramaic marriage contract known as the Ketubah, which lists the groom's obligation to the bride. He then recites the 7 marriage blessings. The Ketubah, this contract that all grooms are required to give their brides at Jewish wedding. Folk, I'm asking you to look and understand what Joseph was going through. It's quite okay in my thinking as a human being that an angel should wake you up in a dream and tell you that you're to take this woman. But how are you going to tell this to your friends? You were brought up in this little village with, he probably was a few years ahead of Mary, but they all probably played together as children. And then they probably went to the synagogue and were seen together and played together in school and outside of school in this small village. And all of a sudden, he's already engaged to her. It's obvious. The Bible says so, doesn't it? And that, how's he going to explain all this to the people? And how many times are his friends, as Mary begins to show her pregnancy, how many times are people going to come to him and accuse him of fornication? This wasn't an easy task. It's okay for an angel to come down to you and tell you in a dream that take this woman and don't take her to divorce her, which he could have. And I'm sure all his friends were telling him, you need to change the contract. You need to go get a get and force this woman out of your life. She's an adulteress. How are you going to explain this to everybody? The angel told me he could say, and the same thing with Mary. They're in a small town. They all went to the same church, as it were. And the life that they lived had to be very difficult for them. They had to face some real, real opposition. Please believe me, we know what it's like to be holy, to be living a Christian life, and then to have your own people, those who are part of your village and your family and your synagogue, coming to you and accusing you day in and day out and telling you to divorce this girl, and you telling him, well, the Lord, the angel told me not to divorce her. He had to be a strong young man, even though we don't see so much. Or am I just, assuming something, that he was such a holy man that he was able to stand by everything? And then imagine what it was like having to travel 90 miles later on when they were basically married and she was about to have the baby. And she's on this, folks, I know what it's like. I was on the mission field in New Guinea. I and my wife were the only ones where our babies were born, 2 of them. And it's not funny and not, you're trusting the Lord. you're trusting the Lord more than you're trusting yourself or human beings. And this young lady and her husband, she obviously must have cherished hopes that she would be fulfilled in marriage when she was preparing, even before she was told by the angel that she was going to carry Jesus. How was she going to tell her husband? And they were already basically married, because we read it that he was her husband and that he was told not to divorce her, but they hadn't come together yet. It was during that time. And she'd be thinking about her young carpenter's husband. She and Joseph may have, as I said, played together in the fields as children. Now they'd grown up and were ready to begin adult life. The two sets of parents had arranged a marriage that would unite not just the two young people, but the two families. And how do you think the families took this whole story? Folk, it's not easy to be a Christian and do the things that the Lord asks you to do. It's not, you need a special anointing for these things. You don't do them in a vacuum. The two sets of parents had arranged this, and the couple were married, were betrothed, and the most binding form of engagement legally, it meant that Mary was already Joseph's wife. They could not be together until after the formal wedding, after that year was up. I salute Joseph. I salute Mary. I salute their parents. Mary's father was Hillel. Jacob was Joseph's father. That they brought these families together. There's no inkling of anything. And I wonder why the angel, now they would have known the Old Testament, and we say there was over 300 mentions of the coming of Jesus, but how many of them would they have understood? Would they have known that reading in Genesis chapter 3, where the seed of the woman, and who would know what the seed of the woman was, because all throughout Scripture after that, it was always the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of David. The Bible that they read would have mentioned about the seed of the woman. Did they understand that? Were they aware of all these things going on? All I am doing during this little chat that we're having is that understand what they went through in order to just get to the marriage ceremony, and what the people in the town thought of them. And you get the same story when Jesus himself was 30 and in ministry, and when he, in Luke 4:18, where he comes to the synagogue and opens up and reads from Isaiah 61. They tried to kill him. There had to be some animus. There had to be some animosity from the people in that village in order to want to do that. So all I'm saying is praise God for Joseph and Mary, who were faithful to the task. Praise God for them as they left their own village, had to go to Bethlehem, had to have the baby by themselves. I don't know, did they have anyone helping them, or was it totally by themselves? I know how that feels, folks. You are trusting the Lord. Praise God. Father, I thank you for Joseph, and I thank you for Mary, even though we don't know too much about Joseph, and probably they had six children after this baby was born. So therefore, Mary was not a perpetual virgin for the rest of her life, as some churches say. But Lord Jesus, we thank you for Mary. We thank you for Joseph. We thank you for their lives, for the pristine way in which they went through so many difficulties and trials, perhaps from their own, from their relatives, from their friends, from the fact that they came from Nazareth, and then from the fact that they had to run on, be on the run for years after that, even after the baby was born. Father, we thank you for them. Help us to appreciate them more. And we appreciate you, Father, for what you did in sending your Son in this way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I hope that was of some kind of meaning, John.
Yeah. Yeah, Pastor Fred, you went into areas that I didn't know anything about. You know, like the marriage structure a year before and how it operated. And then you put it in, really, I never thought about Joseph's, what would you call it, predicament in this. And it took great courage on his part. And so, yeah, there was a lot of things that aren't said about him, but had to be in him to do what he did there. And then you don't hear anything, Fred. He apparently must have passed away before the Lord began his ministry, because you don't hear.
I think and we all say the Lord had a reason, but who knows what it was. And maybe the Lord God did have a reason, and maybe in order not to memorialize him in any way, shape, or form. But he did perform an amazing task, even after the baby was born, all the things that they went through.
Right, right.
And then he had six kids after that. And he was a carpenter. He had to find some way of making a living, because this first boy of his didn't happen to be, he must have been a carpenter for a while, but didn't stay with the business. The God had called him for different things. His other boys must have been, but then I read Jude. Is that one of his sons? I don't think so. Is that one of his half-brothers?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's why I read, yeah. So they would have all gone to the same synagogues and the same church, you know, gone through the same things with their Jewish traditions.
Amen.
So I just thought it was something that the Lord was leading me to.
Yeah, it was very interesting, friend. It was very interesting, because I think in all my years, this is the first time with any depth I've heard about Joseph. He's basically ignored.
And just mentioned by, once by Luke, and or maybe once or twice, but once by, in that passage, the first chapter of Matthew.
Right.
Yeah, and it was good that Matthew gave us all that information on him. Well, the angel of the Lord coming to him and telling him. It was a wonderful, it's a wonderful, wonderful passage in Scripture. And not only can you extrapolate, but you can go back to the life that every Jew had gone through, other than the fact that Nazareth was a kind of a town that was not looked upon as being a famous town, because the Roman garrison was there as well. They were considered a kind of, you know, I suppose some of the Orthodox Jews who had to be kosher from all the other towns round about. And they were very much so Orthodox. That was one of the most Orthodox places or traditional places around Galilee there, except in Tiberias, where the governor built a very great palace or something. But there was a lot going on from all over the world of that time. So, but Nazareth was not considered one of the big, big spots to go to.
Didn't in John, wasn't there a remark made about the Lord? The Pharisees were saying, "We were not born of fornication," and that was that was
they're
a dig.
Still carry, 30 years later, they're still talking about it.
Right, right. So they apparently knew his background, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, they had AI and the internet to tell them all about it.
let me see if I can find. For some reason, it seems like John 8. But let me see that verse. Do you know where it is, Pastor Friend?
No,
I know it's
I
in
couldn't
John.
Get it.
I'm sure it's in John.
Yeah, well, where they say that wasn't your father, I mean, wasn't he a, isn't he a, no, I'd have to, what,
it's,
give
yeah,
me a word
John,
of the
John
verse.
8, John 8, yeah, I was right, it's in John, John 8, I'm going to put it in context. So, you are of your father the devil. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. I am a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God.
What a reputation to carry for him from those people all his life.
Yeah. 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 But the problem,
so they
Fred,
all put up
but,
with
it. But the problem with them is the Lord was doing mighty miracles. I mean, the dead were being raised. And the lepers were being cleansed, and the paralyzed were walking, and the blind could see. So multitudes are getting fed with virtually, you know, just a little bit of food. So he had, he calls them the works. In scriptures, he refers to what he did as the works. So they had that, Fred. The Pharisees could see all that. What the
yeah.
mighty power he had.
But just like the news today, they tried to tear him down. They tried to tear him down, but he did it. He did it all without any kind of stopping or slowing down. Praise God.
Amen.
So his father and his mother were also readied for this kind of stuff. So they must have brought him up in a beautiful way. For him to, it obviously says in the if you read just a few verses, he grew in wisdom and then when he was 12 in the temple when he went there.
Right.
They were a wonderful parents. That's all I was trying to bring out. But they had been trained or brought up and. Through affliction and testing in an amazing way. Hadn't they?
Well, I would say, Fred, knowing the importance of a family to being born into and that the father be stalwart in that family and the mother being a loving, kind, nurturing mother, that Joseph had to be special. He had to be, Pastor Fred.
Praise God.
He had to be living the law as it was back then. So Jesus.
So we're not lifting him up, but he was the real deal.
Right.
And God chose him to be that way, and didn't feel that he had to tell him too much because he had to trust the Lord and had him trust the Lord. They knew he'd trust Lord God. In all this, and he had to have some kind of strength to take his wife to Bethlehem and have a baby there in a cave, didn't he?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because nobody wanted the place in Bethlehem. The place was a turmoil. It's like New York City during New Year's Eve. You couldn't get a room anywhere.
Yeah,
and even now, you can't get one for $3,000 a night in New York City because of what's going on.
Huh.
It's the truth.
Huh. That's funny. There was something I was going to say, Fred, that slipped out of my mind here. Oh, you know, you may ask the question, or I'm speaking to myself here, for myself, why did not Jesus, why did it, his father must have died Joseph must have died fairly young, before Jesus was 30, anyways. Why
Well,
wasn't why
if
wasn't
you
he healed?
look, they had went traveling for how many years were they out of in down in Egypt and all around there? And then they had six kids, and all those six kids were there when Jesus was ministering, and he was 12, and how many kids could they have had between the time? Well, it must have been in the time between that they were. There must have been some children. And interesting that the Bible doesn't mention them growing up and then having two sons here, and two sons later, and two sons. But to have six kids, if you take 6 years, and then they usually took 2 or 3 years for them to nurse them. That was the average time in those days. So they would nurse them, that's 18 years of nursing and babies. And 3 years that they traveled around Egypt, if it was so, 2 or 3 years, that's 20. And so it's an interesting, thing.
Well, he traveled until Herod died. He was in Egypt and then he came back. But here's the thing, Fred. You see, the Lord didn't have that power until the baptism. When he was baptized, that's when all the miracles began.
Started, right. So he was still doing carpentry work with his father and helping with the family, obviously, family feed the family in Nazareth, yes.
And then he was called. He was about 30, the scripture says. And John the Baptist began his ministry, and the Lord went down to from Nazareth down to the Jordan River, like across from Jericho, which would have been right in line with Jerusalem. And he was baptized, and then he went back to Nazareth, and in fact, right when he was baptized, his ministry, people were getting healed and delivered, and demons were being cast out. I mean, from the moment he was baptized.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, Pastor Fred, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lord. I was blessed just by studying it. I really was. My father used to call me his Joseph all the time, but it was the Joseph that Jacob had in the Old Testament. I don't think it was the Joseph that was Mary's. I think he was thinking of me as his Joseph because I was number three. He wasn't expecting my other brother to come along, who came along 7 years later. So it was a blessing. He was always a blessing to me. He's the reason I'm a Christian, my father. There's no way other. I love Jesus because I love my father.
Isn't that something? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And then I know we talked. Did you know anything of your grandfather, Pastor Fred?
Other than he was a huge man and he was had a business, he was ripped off by a friend who was supposed to be a friend. He lost his home, his apartments, his business. He was bankrupted. But he was a preacher also, part time. He would preach every Sunday. So he was a big man, 7 foot something.
Really? Wow, wait.
People would say you could see his shoes coming as he came around the corner before he came around. I don't know. It was a joke that everybody would say that you could see him coming around the corner by his shoes before you saw him because his shoes were so big.
Well, Pastor Fred, your Estonian background, and aren't they known as very, very big men? I mean, really big men, the Estonians.
The Vikings, I don't know if they came from the Vikings, other than the Vikings had red hair, and that would have been a big shame in our families. But, they are because of the cold climate, I imagine, or they're generally big, yeah.
The reason I learned this about how big the Estonians were was, I don't know what year this was, but it had to be like, I don't know, it was before communism fell in Russia and the Olympics. And I was watching the American team playing the Soviet team because it wasn't broken up yet. And they were talking about there's like 12 players on the basketball team, and five of them or so were from Estonia. And the one guy was 7 foot, the other was 6'6". And also Estonia is a tiny population wise, a tiny little country compared to Russia, but almost half the team was from Estonia. And I remember talking to you about that.
I don't know if you, probably.
And you were telling me that the Estonians were generally known, the men were known as being very, very big.
Oh, well, thank you, John. Thank you. Lord bless you. And glad to hear about Nancy being able to walk around. That's fine.
Yeah.
The Lord is good.
Yeah, today, it's amazing today. Let's pray for you. Father, we thank you for Pastor Fred. Lord, we want to bring immediately before you Katie, who came home today, Pastor Fred. Is that right?
I don't know yet. I assume she is, but I haven't heard.
Well, anyways, Lord, we are praying for a speedy recovery on her part. That it will be a very, very fast healing, Lord. We're praying that you would relieve her of any pain associated with the operation, Lord, with a very, as I said, very, very speedy recovery. We thank you for Pastor Fred. Fred, are you still working?
No, they sold the place.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So, Father, I was going to pray about that, but you're not working now. But bless him at the church, Lord. Thursday nights they have the prayer service, and then Sundays he's preaching, Lord. So may his messages be outstanding as they always have been. Thank you for tonight with a kind of a different look at Joseph, Lord, and the condition, his character. That's the word, his character to raise Jesus. So we thank you for the that little insight, Lord, there, and protect him as he travels. And we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, John. Lord bless you.
Okay. God bless you now, too. Lord bless you. Bye. Okay, Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon. Oh, we can't hear you.
Here I am. Here I am. I had the other mute button muted. So here I am.
Now,
and
Sister Sharon.
Yes.
I've got to talk to you about a scandal in Ypsilanti. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this scandal?
Yep.
All right. On your icon, if that should be, whatever you call it, when you know you call in, it, associated with Ypsilanti, I'm not making this up.
Yeah, Ypsilanti.
Ypsilanti. House of dark recreational cannabis.
Yes, I know. I'm just in a real popular area. Ypsilanti. Ypsilanti, Kaplan John, is where they have Eastern Michigan University.
Uh-huh.
And right west of that, well, I mean, within the same area, is the U of M. And so I imagine that they were all kind of all goofy. My mom went to Eastern for become an educator and stuff. And so it's kind of a neat area over there.
But is there such a place? Are you aware of such a place? House of dark recreational cannabis?
I have never been there.
I hope not.
And I could, if I could get out of this bed, I'd go on a road trip just to check it out for you.
All right, Sister Kathy, what do you think of this? House of Dark Recreational Cannabis in Ypsilanti.
Yeah.
I'm glad she hadn't been there, tell you the truth.
Yes.
And what's going on with me right now? Probably nobody'd want me to be there. I'd go crazy.
Bye. All right. So Pastor Fred kind of gave us a history tour of the environment that Joseph would have been the father of Jesus, which first time I've ever heard anything about Joseph like that at all, really.
Right. I enjoyed that a lot.
Okay. Sister Kathy, any comments on your part?
Well, I've got to be honest, like Sharon was about never being in the drug house, I dozed off right after he said about Joseph being young. I always thought he was like a middle-aged man. I don't know why. It's like they were just talking about he was an older person, but that was the only thing I was thinking till I kind of nodded off.
All right. I don't know what to say. I don't know any proof whatsoever that he was older. I don't know. I just assumed he was, he might be a little older, 4 or 5 years, but that's what I assumed, if he was older. Mm-hmm. All right. And then we have Gigi and Randy. Hello.
Yes. Okay. I think what Kathy is referring to is if you look at the artwork, she always looks young in the artwork and he always looks older.
Yes.
I think that's on purpose because they want her to look innocent. That's what I think it is. I don't know. But interesting, that was an extremely interesting teaching. And this was years ago now. There was a pastor that we knew actually is from Texas. And he was talking about the whole incident. I don't know if it was the Pharisees or just the Jews calling Jesus Mamzer, but that is the Hebrew term for illegitimate child. But then he was talking about how Jesus answered them in a very clever way, which I'm sorry, I can't recall. But then the Jews were saying, even though Jesus was referring to God as his father, they turn around and say that God was their father,
right?
Which wasn't traditional to do that. But anyway, I thought that was really interesting that Pastor Fred went through all the other details and everything. It was very, very interesting. And I'm happy about that. Okay. And so we need to continue to pray for Katie, right?
Right.
Okay. Because I didn't know went through the surgery. I was praying about that. I didn't know if they were going to do that or not.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Okay.
And Nancy is getting better and better. The left leg was kind of stiff, and she was showing me last night and today how loose it's got.
Praise God.
Yeah. So she purposely wants to keep weight off it. But it's amazing how, just absolutely amazing how she is then. So the way she is, I mean, it's all indication to me that it's she's been healed. What's the word? It's like a bruise, I think, more than anything right now.
Well, that's, I told you this story, so it's easy for me to pray for her.
Because no pain. Now, she wanted to go upstairs today, and I had I had to get forceful with her. I said, no way. You see that doctor? No way, to you Thursday to see the doctor. And then if they don't see a crack at all, well, okay, you know, there we go. We'll get you upstairs. All right, now we hold on. We have Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John. I found Pastor Fred's teaching tonight enjoyable and very interesting, and it leads, gives you a, makes you think.
Yes.
You know, about Joseph. Yes. Anyway, I was blessed by it. And I'm glad to hear that Nancy is doing really good.
Thank you.
Well, not really good, but she's doing better.
Yeah. Yeah, she really is. Really is. If you would have seen her the first day to the way she is now, it's incredible.
Good.
You know? So, all right. And then we have Michael here. Hello, Michael. Yes, Michael. Hello. Okay, Michael might be. If you're talking, Michael, you're muted. You must have muted yourself. All right. So we're going to have prayer now. And if anyone would like to pray, I have the contact information there on the screen. So you can call in at 717-409-5553. Or you can come in through the website. Meetings, plural, dial pad. No, excuse me, meetings, dialpad.com/MCT911. But of course, if you want to speak, you're going to have to have a microphone to speak into. All right. So let's get back over here. And I'm looking right at you, Sister Sharon. Well, not at you. Right there. House of Dark Recreational Cannabis. What a name.
I'll tell you. I honestly, I've never been there. I know one time we blew up the picture there, just in really few words, at more. And, I don't even know anybody who's been there. But probably one of the places, you know, it's probably run by the government and make sure that things are going square with it. And I mean, if it's got a map like on a map like that, I mean, it's as big as having Ypsilanti put on a map.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like I said, it's that whole area going that way is college. You know, you got like two major colleges, and of course, one of them being the U of M and stuff. And then Eastern, which is the traditional, if you're going to be a school teacher, that's where you went and stuff. And of course, they all mixed going to different classes and then different colleges all together and stuff. And it's a neat area out there. And but they can keep it as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Now here's information. It's not dark, it's dank. D-A-N-K. That's
what. Well, how's that any better than dark?
I didn't say it was. It's small. And I'm looking at the lettering, and I thought it was dark, but it's dank. I guess that's even worse.
I think it is.
That's an old time word. I haven't heard the word dank in I don't know how long. But anyways, it's 80 Escorse Road, Ypsilanti, Michigan. That's where it's located. All right. So, Sister Sharon, lead us now, okay?
Okay. Dear Father God, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for being able to be here and listen to the study that Chap or Pastor Fred did talking about a story we're all pretty familiar with, and that's with Mary being impregnated with Jesus and stuff, and just all that goes along with that, just the way Pastor Fred was more in depth with some of the history and the people that are in the story. And it just made it come more to life. And I was just so thankful to be here for that. And I just absolutely was just shocked to hear that Pastor Fred's father was over 7 foot tall and stuff. And you don't find people that are that tall like that that often. So, dear Father God, I just thank you for that, too, for Pastor Fred's family, his lifeline, and everything that he has gone through. And I know last week we were teasing and talking that Pastor Fred was going to teach us with the leftovers. And we were all looking forward to that tonight, too. And we just thank Abba Father International for this time that we have to come together and to pray for one another, to pray with each other, and just to be here during the prayer time and to hear the voices. There is nothing more calming to me as to hear somebody's voice when they're praying. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that we do get to hear the voices. And I just am so happy to be here. I am happy to hear that Nancy is pretty much stable from her fall. And I just look for a good report Thursday after they go and get everything rechecked and stuff. And I just pray that there's no long-term issues with this. I don't see how there could be with the way she is coming along with this. And I just thank you. Thank you so much that we are able to be here and be supportive of Chaplain John and the family while they're all going through this with Nancy. And dear Father God, I just pray for the people out there that need salvation, that they need to hear about you for to get salvation, to be saved, so that they can be ready to go and be with you when we are all taken away, taken out of here. And we're all hoping that it's going to be a soon rapture. And I just am so thankful, dear Father God, that we can study on things like this. And I'm looking so forward to Chaplain John starting the study. And is it First John, Chaplain John?
Yes, First John.
Yeah, First John and stuff. But I've never really heard a study on those books of the Bible other than reading through them quite quickly. So I'm looking forward to that. And dear Father God, I know that you will help him prepare for this and have us all ready for this too. And I just thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. And I thank you so much for all that we're going to learn and through this study. And in your name, I do pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay, Sister Kathy?
Yeah, can you come back to me?
Sure.
Thank
we
you.
We have Gigi and Randy next.
Okay. And I'm obviously going to be praying for Nancy, but is there anything else that you would like me to pray for?
Pray for Nancy, and then at the end I'll tell you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for that.
Okay. So, Lord, first of all, we want to thank you that Nancy is feeling better. And you are the God that heals us. We know that in your word. We know that by your stripes that we are healed. And so we're grateful that whatever happened wasn't worse than it was. It could have been dangerously worse. But that is of no concern to you other than when we're praying for healing. you can heal anything, no matter how bad it is or not bad. And so you knit her together in her mother's womb. And so you know her in every fiber of her being, Lord. And so we are praying that you would do this miraculous healing and that you would knit everything back together perfectly and that she would not have to have surgery. And we've seen you do this before, heal people. And so that's what we're praying for. We're going to give you all the praise and all the glory. And we're going to be careful to thank you in everything that you are doing. And we want to thank you that you are a mighty God. You are a holy God. You are worthy to be praised and honored and adored. And we do that every time we pray, Lord. We never forget who you are. And you are our Father. And it was Jesus that made that possible, that no one comes to the Father except through me. And that's what Jesus said, and that is what we believe. So we thank you in advance for all the marvelous things that you're going to do. And we pray that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I would ask you to pray for me for more of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is it okay if I pray for that for all of us?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I'm just teasing you. So, Lord, first of all, we want to lift up John and his family and where they're living and everything that belongs to them that you have given them, Lord, in a faithful way. And so we want to pray, first of all, for protection. And we are all under the everlasting blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we are praying that you would sustain John, and even more so that you would increase the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry and his life. And we also want to pray for a big, big outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the preaching of the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons, healing the brokenhearted, and everything else that it explains that you have done and will do. And so we want to lift your name on high and ask you that there would be this outpouring on John and on each and every one of us as individuals so that we can complete the mission and the tasks and the jobs that you have given us and the gifts that you have given us, and that we might be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Time is short. And so we want to do what you want us to do. So I'm asking you to strengthen each and every one of us. I'm praying that you would heal Sister Sharon and that you would strengthen her and give her great wisdom and courage and encouragement, Lord. And we're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on her and on her son as he's caring for her. And I just pray a blessing over every single person tonight and every night. And we just want to thank you in advance for all the things that you're going to do. And we want to lift up the entire Abba Father's Fellowship. And we pray there would be many, many more souls coming into the kingdom, and that you would protect all of these pastors. We pray over especially Pastor Abel in Nigeria, that you would provide food for them, Lord, and that you would provide protection for all of those pastors. And we just want to thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, you and Randy. Thank you. All right. We have, we have Rita.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Clearly.
Okay, good. Father, I give you thanks for everything that you have provided to me, Father. You have blessed me abundantly. For more than anything, Father, I give you thanks for my salvation and that I have life and I do not have to fear death, Father, because I know if I do not go up in the rapture, that I know where I will be going. And that's with you, Father, I will be with you, my Father in heaven. And I give you thanks for this, Father. Father, you have provided so much emotionally and physically, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for Bishop Reinhardt. I pray that you would strengthen him and comfort him, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would provide the needs of the orphans that is under his care, water, food, clothing, and housing, Father. And I pray, Father, for these little hearts that he has to take care of. I pray, Father, that you would wrap your arms around him, wrap your love around him, Father, and that they would grow up knowing your son as the Lord and Savior of their lives, Father. And Father, I pray for Lee's wife, his children and grandchildren, Father. I pray that you will strengthen their hearts and that you would encourage their hearts, Father, and heal the broken hearts, Father, and that you would help them face this new year that they have to face without her husband and the children, without their dad and granddad. And Father, I pray for, I give you thanks, Father, how you have healed Nancy. And I pray that you continue to heal her, Father, and strengthen her and encourage her heart. And I pray for Chaplain John, that you would also strengthen him and encourage him, Father. And I pray, Father, that you fill him with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
And that he will, and that you would direct him in what he writes and what he says. And also anoint the brochures, Father, that the people that have read your book, Chaplain John's books, many people will come to the saving knowledge of your son, and many hearts would be healed, Father. And I also pray for Auburn Father Fellowship pastors, Father, that you would also guide and direct what they say and bless their churches, and that you would provide food, clothing, housing, and water to these poor third world churches. And Father, I pray for America. I pray that you will forgive us and heal us in America, Father. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America. And I also pray for President Trump, that you would protect him and his family from the evil people, Father, that is in Washington, or the evil people that's planning on doing this family harm, that you would put stumbling blocks in their way and that you would just stop them, Father. And I pray, Father, for President Trump, that he will love your son and you, Father, with all his heart, soul, and mind. And Father, I pray for the people that's down in North and South Carolina, that if they're still living in tents, Father, I pray that you would give them a better housing of made of wood, and that you would provide food, clothing, water to these people that are living in this condition down there. And that you would also strengthen their hearts and encourage their hearts, Father. And also, Father, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
I pray that Israel would turn from her secular ways, and that the Jews in Israel, Father, would come to know you and your Son. And that they will love you, Father, with all their heart, soul, and mind. And, Father, I pray this also, especially also for the IDF, and that you would, that these young men and women will come to know your Son and you, Father, and that they would love you and your Son, Father, with all their heart, soul, and mind, before it's too late, Father. And I pray for Netanyahu that you will guide and direct him in what he says and how he directs Israel, Father, and strengthen and encourage him and his family. And, Father, I pray for Katie, Pastor Fred's daughter, that whatever is wrong with Katie, that you will heal her and that she will have no more problems with what she's having problems with. And bless Pastor Fred and strengthen and encourage his heart, Father, and bless his church, Father, that his church members will come to love you and your Son, Father, with all the whole heart, soul, and mind, and that they will not be lukewarm, Father. And I pray for everyone that is online and in the chat room, Father, that we will not be lukewarm towards you or your Son, Father, but that we would love you with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and strengthen and encourage everyone, Father, that is online and in the chat room. For I pray this in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Reader. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. And then we have Suzanne here. Hello, Suzanne.
Oh, hello this evening.
Yes. Yeah. Glad that you're here. Thank you.
Thank you. So I can pray, but I did have a panic attack tonight. So I appreciate being able to pray.
Okay. If you have no problem, I'd like to pray for you.
Sure. And, you know, I've got issues with my back and my leg, and then I started panicking like I've gotten another fracture or stress fracture or something like that. You know, but I didn't fall or anything like that, but I overdid it when my family was here and doing all the 20 loads of laundry and too much bending over. Anyway, I still have not been healed of that whole thing that when things go awry in my body, I just freak out and start thinking that there's a bunch of other things wrong and all that. So, and then I went into a panic attack. So I'm very frustrated with myself because obviously it's fear and it still has a hold of on me.
Okay. I want you to pray first. And then afterwards.
Okay. That sounds great. That sounds great. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so, so much. And you are so wonderful and kind. You are Lord Jesus. You came for grace, and Moses came for the law and presented the law, and you came for grace and truth. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that you are so, your loving kindness endures forever. And Father, we, and also in John 10, 28 through 30, you are in charge. You are good. You hold us in your hand, and we are safe. So I just thank you so much for the fact that you care about all those things for us. Father, I pray for, I lift up the situation with Chaplain John's wife, Nancy, and that she had fallen. And I pray, Lord, thank you that you continue to fortify her and strengthen her, that it's your strength, and that she is completely healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, things like this just happen so quickly.
Yes.
And we don't even have time to think about it. And you know, AARP will show pictures of how you're supposed to fall carefully. And I always think like, yeah, well, they use young people who are just, they're showing you how to do it because they're planning on it. But when you're not planning on falling, nobody, you can't plan ahead of time how you're going to fall. But I just thank you, Father, that you will provide your hand of protection over her, your healing, that you are her peace, that you restore her completely, that all of the tissues and cells in her leg and the bones, everything, Father, will be completely restored. And heal her, oh Lord God, from that trauma from falling. And Father God, I just thank you to continue to heal Randy and Gigi, that you are healing them, Father, from the top of their head to the tip of their toes. And you restore them, Father, and that you will restore the years the locusts have eaten. And we just thank you that you, despite how they have, what they've experienced with their suffering, with their health, you have continued to put in them opportunities and given them opportunities, and they've taken those opportunities to share you with others so that they might be set free. And I thank you for that. Lord, we do. I lift up Sharon and how she endures every day, and that she has your hope. She has so much of faith in you and trust, and that you are sustaining her, Father. And we thank you that she will rise up and walk. And Father, we know that the enemies, they have their nefarious plans, schemes, and plots, but you are greater and than all of their plans that these fools think are in charge, because they're not. And so I thank you that they're not in charge, and that you will, that they are defeated foe, and Lord, that you will handle them the way that you feel necessary. But we're just asking that all of their things that they plan to do, Father, that they will not win, and they will be caught in their own traps. And Father, if there's any way that these people can come to know you, Lord God, that they would call upon your name and be saved and set free and repent. And if they can't, if that's not possible, Lord, that they, you know that they would not do that, that you would give them, that they would, you would just deal with them in the way that you see fit. But help us, Father, to endure to the end, and that we will be faithful. And we pray for a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit on the whole earth, and that the body of Christ would be prepared as a holy bride, pure bride before you. And I just thank you, Father, that you will open the doors. You will open, helping Chaplain John more and more to surrender, and that you will fortify him by your Holy Spirit and utilize everything that, you know, his hands and his mouth and his feet find to do. Lord God, that you will give him all of the, you will just fill him, and that it's not him at all, but it's you. And I just thank you, Father, that you are so faithful to him, and that you will bring all this to pass. And we pray, God, for all of his family, all of his children and grandchildren, Lord, to keep all of them from the evil one. And we pray that, Father, for all of our families, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, what you said, I'm going to think, let me start. I'm all tongue-tied here. You said a couple things which triggered some things in my mind. And I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before or not. You'd have to remember. I have no idea. But I think you might be being oppressed by the fear of death. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
Is that possible?
Right. Or that the ultimate thing is the fear of death, right?
Yes.
And it's also anything that happens to me that doesn't feel safe.
Okay. Now, were you traumatized as a child?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what we'll do is we're going to pray for that. Now, I would suggest I'm going to read scriptures first to you, and that you would learn these scriptures. I recommend even memorizing them and using them when this attack comes upon you, or if it comes any more upon you, all right? Hebrews 2, 14 through 16. Well, actually 14 and 15. Well, anyways, I'll read it. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay, Hebrews 2:14 and 15. Now, one more verse. We're going to go over to Revelation chapter 1. Go down to verse 18. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So, who has the say over you? The Lord. He has the keys, the authority of hell and death. So, what you need to do now is grow in faith and grow in that love of God as your Abba Father, because the scripture says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So the perfect in love is when fear has no, the love is so great with God that fear has no end to you. It's completely blocked out because of love.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's pray. This trauma when you were young, I guess that's because that's part of the ministry, is being healed of that trauma. I mean, is that still like alive in you, that trauma?
I think so. But it's multiple things. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and it set into motion. I think it even happened in the womb, started. So it's like, it's just, it totally filled every cell of my body to not feel safe and to be anxious. And so it's like I'd have to have it. I need to be resurrected, you know, in
okay.
a way.
All right. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, you're speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm not going to paraphrase the scripture. I'm going to quote the scripture to you in Romans. Okay. All right. This is exciting. I'm happy. Well, I'm happy for you in that we're on the road. We're on the road, Sister Suzanne, to be set free. And don't think you can't be. All right. Don't think.
Right.
All right. Father, we have Sister Suzanne before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for how much you have worked in her life through the years, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord, she has been afflicted with this fear. She said from almost from the womb, Lord. So Lord, the end has come now for this torment of her, Lord. Because fear has torment, but love doesn't. So, Lord, we thank you, thank you, thank you now in the name of Jesus that you have authority over death, Lord. You have complete authority in the name of Jesus. We're asking now that bondage that has been in Sister Suzanne and it has kind of tracked her all her life, we destroy it now in the name of Jesus. Lord, this may be generational. We destroy any generational, anything of generational passing on from a mother, father, grandparents to her with this fear. It's destroyed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Lord, when you died on Calvary, all curses were broken. So we're under the blood of the everlasting covenant. Sister Suzanne is under the blood of the everlasting covenant. And it has to end today, right now, this moment. It can't continue 1 minute. Lord, I do believe that she is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And Lord, this is the trauma that happened has either one occasion or multiple occasions, doesn't matter, has caused her to deal with or her thinking process to be like invaded by fear. And it's causing what we call post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm asking in Jesus' name that post-traumatic stress disorder be completely put to death, Lord. God has not given Suzanne the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We dislodge, we have it, Lord, we're asking that this fear will be dislodged from her thinking process, both in her heart and mind, that the stronghold of fear in her mind, which has caused this post-traumatic stress disorder, is destroyed now in Jesus' name. We pull it down. We demolish it, Lord. It has no authority anymore. Now, fear and unbelief go together. So, Lord, we also destroy unbelief because that fear can be so strong that it generates unbelief. So it's destroyed in her that the stronghold of unbelief no longer can function in her mind. We break it apart from fear. Thank you, Lord, for this pulling down of strongholds of fear and unbelief in her. It's completely destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. By the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, it cannot function anymore. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we pray now in our heart that our heart is healed from it, Lord. This fear that has latched on to her thinking process, we're ripping it away now in the name of Jesus. And that fear is subsiding in her heart, Lord. It had great authority and power, but not anymore. It's melting away in the name of Jesus. And we pray your healing our heart, full of freeing her heart of fear and unbelief. Lord, we're praying against unbelief as much as we are here, that she is going to be freed of that, completely, totally at peace with you, Lord. Totally. We thank you and praise you. God has not given Suzanne the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, we speak power into her life now, Lord. And what the power that we're speaking into her life is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Lord, we speak the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, by the glory of the Father, into Suzanne's life right now. The resurrection power that she may walk, as the Bible says, in the newness of life. The newness of life is peace, love, joy in her mind. No bondage, no fear, no fear. Thank you, Lord. The newness of life through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. Even so, we should also walk in the newness of life. She believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we're releasing the resurrection power into her life so she can walk in the newness of life, free of fear, free of the fear of death, because she has the hope, the blessed hope. She has the assurance of your word of eternal life, that this is now permeating her, and she's freed from bondage, and the blessed hope has taken hold in her life now. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and the reality of heaven and being with Jesus will permeate her now, full of faith, full of love, Lord. Lord, I ask she grows to be mighty in love now, because that's what the verse says. God has not given Suzanne the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Love. That love for Abba Father and the love of Abba Father for her will melt away all fear. Fear cannot penetrate that love. So, Lord, we're talking about walking in the newness of life. She's walking now with a whole new level of love with you as her Abba Father. And she is your little child. That love is so great that fear cannot penetrate it. It cannot now. Thank you. Thank you. That fear has been destroyed in the name of Jesus, that spirit of fear. It's been destroyed out of her mind, and it's been taken from her heart. And she has a new heart now, a new heart full of your love, full of your peace, full of your joy, full of your power. Because that fear has been ripped out in the name of Jesus. No longer is she subject to post-traumatic stress disorder, but your peace permeates her thinking now. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord. In your word, it says, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, Lord, we release in the name of Jesus, your resurrection power into her life, where she goes from the fear of death. The newness of life is a love to be with Jesus. That love suppresses, puts to death that fear. She has an excitement for his coming for us, to be in heaven with him. Thank you for this great victory. He said that it's like her whole being is like, I guess, with the spheres in her whole being. Lord, then we are asking now, with the resurrection power to be in her being, every place that fear and unbelief has had in her being that she mentioned, It's going to be replaced now by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The newness of life permeates every being, every part of her being, from the top of her head to her toes, permeated with the newness of life, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, completely defeating the spirit of fear, completely freeing her from post-traumatic stress disorder. She's at peace now. Her whole body is at peace, not on edge because of that fear. Her whole body is being permeated by your peace. Thank you for this great victory in Suzanne, Lord. And Lord, we break that unbelief. Suzanne, anytime when I'm praying, is that unbelief coming after you that it won't work? It won't work.
The thing that comes after me is that verse that I gave you where I mentioned, I think I did, the John 10, 28 through 30, where it talks about that God is, you know, he's in control. He's good. We're in his hand. You know, he's yes. Nobody can, nothing right. can snatch you out of his
right.
hand.
Right.
And that you're safe. And I realized last week that my whole life I never felt safe.
Right.
And I don't feel safe with the Lord either, which sounds horrible. But that's the feeling that I don't feel safe
okay.
with him.
All right. Father, we're asking that whatever has afflicted Suzanne with this inability to feel safe, Lord, it starts on a human level, but it transfers to you. We're asking now that you work in her life to go right at that lack of feeling safe, Lord, right there, and that you work with her and pull that out of her so she is your little child and you are her Abba Father, and she is safe under you as her Abba Father. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you that your love is going to overwhelm her, Lord. Your peace is going to overwhelm her. Your power, she's going to, this here oppression drains your power out. No more, Lord. She's going to constantly walk in the newness of life, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Free of post-traumatic stress disorder, ripped right out of her, Lord. It can't function in her thinking, either in her mind or in her heart. Oh, and Lord, and in her mind, we're asking that you replace that stronghold of fear and unbelief and pray, and then replace it, Lord, with love, peace, and joy in her mind. That's what's in her mind now. The fear has been completely destroyed and pulled down. The unbelief has been completely destroyed and pulled down, and faith and love now is replacing that stronghold. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, from this moment on, you are working with her that she is completely safe with you as her Abba Father. In Jesus' name, I ask this. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen, and thank you so much. And I know every time something happens with my body, that's when I freak out, and that's part of all this. So thank you so much for because of what happened with my back, my leg, and my heart, and all that stuff. It just all it sends me. So thank you so much for praying and for all of this. Thank you.
You remember Hebrews 2:14 and 15.
Right, I've got it written down.
Okay, and then I also gave you Romans 6:4-5. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. You walking in the newness of life is free from fear.
Right, okay. I've got it down.
And verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So when Christ died, he died with our sin. That's the penalty was, you know, paid. He was buried, and when he rose again, he rose in the resurrection power, free from it, free from any bondage and all. So we have a good job preaching the first, we do a good job preaching the first part of the gospel, how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and we preach eternal life. But the second part is for victory and power now. That as like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And that's what I was speaking to you, walking in the newness of life, and that we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection, power, victory over fear, victory over bondage, victory over hatred and all of that. That's the likeness of his resurrection. That's like walking in the newness of life. Okay, Suzanne?
Amen. Amen. For the victory.
Yeah, so remember that, the resurrection power. That's what I prayed to be loosed into you in the name of Jesus.
Okay, thank you.
Pulling down, resurrection power heals hearts. It pulls down strongholds. It frees you from being oppressed of the devil. That's the resurrection power.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, one more thing. Father, I just spoke and I realized we should pray this, Lord. Lord, this here, it's obvious, pretty obvious, that Suzanne has been oppressed of the devil, Lord, with this fear. It's been there all her life, Lord, and she has been oppressed by it. And Lord, in your word, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Lord, we break that oppression now in the name of Jesus, that oppression of that fear and bondage, that's oppression. So Lord, we free her now from being oppressed of the devil in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that oppression is dead. It's dead in the name of Jesus. It must die. Its power must be released. She is under you as her Abba Father, and she can no longer, even a tiny bit, be oppressed of the devil. It's over. It's done. It's finished in the name of Jesus. And she's walking in the freedom of the resurrection now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For Suzanne, Lord, we want this. We want to help her to walk in great victory, and to be, we want your peace to permeate every part of her body. The fear is dead in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay?
Bless the Lord. Thank you so much.
All right. So you get a hold of those words because you need to be strengthened inside by the word.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we prayed on one level, and now you need to be really strong in the word on, because this is, I don't know how old you are. It doesn't matter. I know you're a little somewhere near me, I think. But
no, I'm 72. I'll be 73 in January.
The reason I mentioned that, that's a long time that you've been oppressed by this. A long time. It's come to an end. And you're going to grow very close to God as your Abba Father. No place but fear. None. Zero.
Mm.
Okay. All right. I'm happy. Oh, look at the time. Wow. I like went into another zone. Sister Kathy.
Yes. Chaplain, do you think Susie should repent for not thinking God will do what he says he will do?
That can't
because
hurt.
You've done this, you did this 5 years ago and almost down to the letter what you just did. And
Well, and the thing is, I've repented so many times. I'm not.
Well, it hadn't.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I know that I have repented for the lies, and I just did the other morning. I was, because of not feeling safe with him, and then
yeah,
anyway,
that
not,
you can't.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I do repent. But it's nothing changed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
To you cast down imaginations and every high thought thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God.
I do all that. Believe me, that's why.
Well, it's worse than I thought. Then, if you do,
But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up.
Okay. All right. Would you email me?
Me, Susie, you mean Suzanne,
yeah.
Me?
Yes, yeah. Would you email me?
Sure, yes.
You've got my, mct911@aol.com.
Right.
All right. Okay. And I'll respond to your email. All right. And
thank you.
We have Michael here. Hello, Michael. Well,
and he had a toothache, Chaplain John. I'm not sure if it's better or not, or if he got to go to a dentist or anything, but we prayed for him Friday night.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess we will call it a night. I'm looking at the time really, really fast.
Well,
no, there's Michael.
Yeah, I didn't know how to. Sorry. Been off there a little bit, but I'm glad I'm with you guys tonight.
Oh, good. We're looking forward. Yeah, we want you to be a part of the team here.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I did go see a dentist today just to let Kathy know that I went to the dentist, but he wanted to rip into my tooth and, you know, start numbing it up and all that, and I really didn't feel comfortable, you know, doing all that, and so I'm trying to get some other options, you know, about what I need to do to maybe save my tooth or, you know, see if they could repair it, my molar, and so we'll see what happens this week. I have a couple of appointments.
All right, you've been prayed over for.
Thank you.
And Charles just came in. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Chaplain, I just want to say hello and thank you for the show.
Okay, Charles.
Have a great night.
Yes, thank you for calling in. God bless you.
Yes,
hold on here. Sister Sharon, hello?
Yes, Chaplain John.
Okay, I looked up dank recreational cannabis. All right?
Okay.
And here's, you ready for this, Sister Kathy and everybody?
I want to hear it.
Dank. Slang of marijuana. Excellent. High quality.
Oh, man.
There you go.
And here's the sentence for it. There was plenty of booze. Hold on. There's plenty of booze and dank weed at the party.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
I live in an old hippie area. So that place is an old hippie area. But I was thinking about looking up that map for you later on, too.
Oh, I found it.
Find out
I found
more
it.
Information.
No, it shows you. I got the map of where it is. But here, the meaning of dank, unpleasantly moist or humid, damp and often chilly, a dank cellar. But I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that word. I mean, I know what it means, but I haven't heard it in decades and decades. So there you go.
Marijuana is better when it's damp.
I guess
that's what they're saying.
Lord. Slang of marijuana. Excellent, high quality. Now, in a sentence, there was plenty of booze and dank weed at the party. All right. So God bless you, and
God bless you.
We'll see you tomorrow morning for prayer, 10 a.m. Eastern, same location. So, again, God bless you, and always looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send.